With Laura Fox
podcast.
Now, every month we get loads of questions in for Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skingredients and The Skin Nerd. And this month we are going to be talking about something a little bit different, a different piece of skin, the scalp. Jennifer, you're very welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
This is one of my favorite things in the whole entire world that we get to talk about every single month because you are a bucket of information and you never stop. But I am focusing on like my hair health, you know, coming up. So scalp is where that all begins, yeah. as we know. But what makes the scalp different from the rest of our skin?
Do you know what I love that you just said there? And I think, to be totally honest with you, Laura, as a facialist, I would focus on the face and then obviously very much about the skin and the body. What's really starting to become the norm for people, or more the norm, should I say, is that we're realising that our hair health is something we perhaps might think about. And it all starts with the scalp, but the scalp is skin.
Yeah.
So it's essentially a continuation of this beautiful face of ours that we like to put all the lotions and potions on. But I suppose if you break it down or think about it from an anatomy physiology perspective, first of all, we're more than likely to have denser hair across our head, perhaps not the whole circumference, but throughout. That in itself creates an environment where we're more prone to dryness and sometimes irritation in the scalp because it's covered.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest place to get in and look after, example, compared to your face where there's nothing in the way. It is just skin by and large. So you're able to go in and cleanse it. In a scalp scenario, what we're trying to do is really look after the scalp, and that then in turn helps the hair.
Okay.
Whereas I, example, in the past would have thought about my luscious locks and just thought about the condition of the end of my hair, but then realised, oh goodness, no, if I really want to get to the root of the problem or the root of the area, then I need to, oh, the root, what
pardon the pun.
Oh my goodness, I am on it on a Monday. It's all about getting back to the scalp. So ultimately, there's a different microenvironment in your scalp than there is with the face.
Okay.
So you're dealing with different bacteria, different fungus, all of which might think, oh goodness, is that? That's just the norm, that's what we want. That in itself then, I suppose, creates a warm, dark, humid environment where, as a result, you might find you're getting excess oil. Now, we have a lot of oil glands all over our body.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot on our face, but we have an awful lot on our scalp as well. So it does make it either more prone to dryness or more prone to oiliness. And that's what we then tend to hear people complain about. Like, I'll sit here and say, I have the oiliest hair in the world. I don't have oily hair. I actually have oily scalp, which then creates the oiliness in the hair. So to bring it back to what you asked me, it's the same anatomy physiology fact is that it is skin, but it's just treating the scalp slightly differently because it's a different microenvironment. It deserves a little bit slightly different respect sense, and it's more prone to oiliness or dryness. And then that in turn can create more, I suppose, issues with you, if you will.
And that's what we're going to get into
because
let's talk about scalp issues. Like, how common are they? And are they getting more common because we're just being sold so many more products? Like, we're applying more and more and more to ourselves.
It's a great question. So when I stop to think about it, it's an element of column A and column B. If I can say that. So if you take TikTok, which shouldn't be your main source of information, but we'll definitely get an insight to the consumer demand. Like 22.7 million average views per week are people searching for the term hair loss, hair scalp, scalp health. So that in itself shows that there's a consumer demand. Unfortunately, and or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, when we live in a world where there's consumer demand, there's going to be brands that will notice that and then just want to create products as a result of it. However, what's also become a reality is, thankfully, we're just discussing things like perimenopause, menopause, postpartum, so all different hormonal parts for those that identify as women. And so as a result, we're realizing that it's not that there's more statistically, as in it's not that there's more people actually suffering with these different realities, it's actually that people are talking about it more. So it's kind of column A and column B. So statistically it's growing, the demand is growing, but also people are discussing it more. So when I talk to, say, the generation prior, so my own mom's generation, they still suffered with a lot of these, it just wasn't spoken about as much. So it's a little bit of A and it's a little bit of B, but I would just say it's a positive. But it's, as always, Laura, I'm always saying to people, don't put pressure on yourself to now try to invest more and more time, money, energy, effort. It's just, if you want to talk about it or if it's an issue for you, at least you now know the successful ways to address it.
Yeah, and you can get to it. You mentioned there about hair loss. Like, how would we define the different types of hair loss?
Yeah, fair. So first and foremost, it's important for us to know that normally we lose hair every single day. So on average, you're talking 50 to 150 hairs a day. Now, I didn't think that this was, when I remember learning this years ago, I think, God, that's, do I really lose that much hair? But if you take note of your hairbrush or even the plug in the shower, wherever it is that you might be washing your hair, you'll notice that it is, I'm not asking you to sit down and individually pluck it out. I mean, that's definitely a different level of attention, but that's kind of the norm. And I suppose it depends on your natural hair density too. But what I really would ask people to look for is if there's an obvious and ongoing increase in that hair. And so if you're starting to see an awful lot more build up, or if there's a notice, for example, I would have, you know, my my ponytail. Most women would tend to play with their ponytail, or man if they have a ponytail. And if you notice that changing, but ultimately what you're looking for is three things. So the number of the hair per centimeter of the scalp is reducing. Now that's hard for you to determine yourself. So again, that's why, where you might need a medic or a derm to assess it. Then you're also going to look at the proportion of the active productive hair follicles. What does that mean? Again, it's in an analysis. They can use a little lens. They look at the scalp and they can truly see, are these hair follicles growing or are they stagnant, or are they what we would deem to be kind of dormant or dead? And then the thickness of the hair shaft. So ultimately that's it needs a medic or somebody else to look at your hair for you. For you yourself, the easiest way to know is there a dramatic difference, or am I noticing the thinning of a ponytail or more hair in my hair brush, and so on and so forth. But all of those essentially come down to a couple of different factors, and the factors where, example, I have what's called androgenetic alopecia. So it sounds like a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
But it's essentially a form of hair loss that is typically found in women. It's when our hair thins all over our head in equal proportion. So if you notice, if you're sitting in a large congregation or a large crowd, you might notice that what happens with men is that there's a specific area that might lose hair.
Yeah.
Whereas with women, we tend to have an even distribution of volume of hair throughout as we get that little bit older. So it comes with age, it comes with hormones, it comes with many different realities, come with medication, stress, but it's just something to know of that is more than likely going to become your norm. It's just if it happens younger or quite accelerated, you might get a little bit of assistance medically on the way.
Those little cameras that you talked about there, the ones that they put on your scalp, like I've got one of them done before, and I just think that they're the most disgusting thing in the whole entire world.
Really?
Oh my God,
I love it. Why is it disgusting?
Oh, I just think it looks like a load of little aliens. Like I just can't describe it, right? It really look, dandruff is something that so many people suffer from, men, women, and it can be, you know, you can feel a little bit embarrassed about it. Yeah. But what causes it? But more importantly, what cures
it?
What
can we do? So dandruff, first and foremost, it's caused by skin cells essentially forming too quickly. So ideally in skin in general, we're asking for it to kind of, if you think about where it grows, it takes about 28 days. So underneath the skin, it takes about 28 days for the skin that you're now feeling, touching, seeing.
Yeah.
You see that on the top, that takes 28 days. But what happens with dandruff is that it's taking about 12 to 15 days. So it's happening an awful lot quicker. So it's just an excess shed of dead skin cells. Where it becomes a huge part for people, as you alluded to, is if we're wearing dark clothing and you might see it kind of the skin settle onto the shoulder, people become quite conscious and uncomfortable about it. And it really can affect people's lives, like just confidence wise. It's usually kind of like a grayish loose scale, or it can, if it's kind of the more common form, is when it has like a yellowish hue because the scalp oil and the sebum have locked together. So it has like a little kind of a yellow waxy appearance to it. To answer your question, the reality is it's all about, again, getting the correct advice.
Yeah.
So it's so easy to walk into your local supermarket and pick up products, but I would love if someone could just go to a local pharmacy and just get that little bit more of an education piece, because it does affect you if it really is affecting you. So yeah, to answer your question, it's about exfoliation, but not excessively. I'm never going to be the endorser of that, regardless of what part of the body you're asking me to talk about. So really trying to clear the accumulated dead skin cells, again with that bit of assistance if you can, something like a cleanser. So treating your shampoo more like a cleanser, exfoliator, or a treatment is ideal. Trying to level the bacteria. So when we talk about skin on the face, we'll talk about salicylic acid. You can get that ingredient and equivalent for the scalp.
Never in a million years would I have ever thought of that. And
really?
It's so silly, because it's literally you're just going up the way, and it makes perfect sense. The same way that you would treat the dry skin on your face, it's kind of in or around the same thing up there as well.
Separate to dandruff altogether, but I, for example, at different times of the month hormonally would find that I am oilier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring something with salicylic acid up into my scalp and use it throughout my scalp as a little mini mask whilst I'm in the shower, and it really helps, like a wood on my face. It really helps to just degrease the skin, if you will. So that's something to be aware of. And then trying to calm the inflammation so that you're not then exasperating it further, so it becomes an irritated source. And then trying as much as you can to avoid heat, rubbing, touching, or even scratching the scalp, which is hard.
Yeah.
But my last piece I would say is, if you've tried all of that at home with the guidance of your pharmacist, it is then seeking counsel from, in this case, you'd look for a trichologist, or the best step after that would be a medical advisor, which would be your dermatologist. So dermatologists, people often don't know. Yes, they look after the skin on the body, skin cancer, aesthetics, etc., so important, but they are actually a doctor of hair too. So going to seek counsel from them is really important. If this is something that's prolonged, affecting you, you can't get under control, And I would always encourage people, if you've looked after yourself at home for a couple of months and it's just not, you're not, you know, people always say inverted commas, I've tried everything. If you've gotten to that stage, don't leave it any longer. Emotionally, financially, there's no need. Try to get that medical assistance.
And also, it's so funny because if there was anything wrong with our bodies, you wouldn't be trying to type it into TikTok to, you know, search and be like, you would go to a doctor. So it is kind of just the same thing. Something that also can affect a lot of people, and one of my friends suffers from psoriasis as well. Like, it's a very serious condition, psoriasis and eczema, and they can affect your scalp.
Very much so. So psoriasis of the scalp is a really common, it's a really common reality with the scalp in general, and it really is a cause of massive itching. So the difference, I suppose, if you're to differentiate psoriasis, again, it's a medical condition, so it does, back to what you're saying with your friend, is to make sure that they are getting that medical attention. But it's almost plaque-like, so you can often see it, and a lot of men do suffer with it. And again, if their hair is slightly lighter on top or it's the back of the scalp, it usually presents almost like a white, red, raised, and plaque is the best way to describe it. You'll often see it on people's elbows and that, as we would have said in the past, but it's linked to the immunity, so it's really important. It's because it's seen as an autoimmune disease, it's really important that you do actually get medical attention for it, because it can be a sign of many other parts of the body kind of needing attention. But 45-55% of people with psoriasis tend to get it on the scalp, so it's actually quite a large proportion of people that suffer with psoriasis actually are getting on the scalp as well. So yeah, it's fine scaling or thick crusted plaques, that's essentially what it looks like. It almost has like a silvery hue to it, so just being aware of it, noticing it, and then again addressing it is so key. How does that differentiate to eczema? Because people often misinform themselves and might treat themselves for one versus the other if they haven't had that medical attention. But about 10% of people that suffer with eczema are also getting on the scalp, so quite high percentages of people. And don't forget, let's not forget, eczema unfortunately is quite a common skin condition in Ireland, so there is no cure for it per se, but the treatments that are really can help keep it under control are a lot of hydration, emollients, and then again, it may and often does need medical attention. Needs medical ointments and potions and lotions, and it just, I think that's my key message. It's to say to people, as you've just said, skincare is something we see as aesthetic, but it can have and does have its own diseases and disorders. So whether it's the body or whether it's the scalp, as we're discussing today, it does need a little bit more than just, oh yeah, I got that cream and I'll see how it goes. It's okay to look after it and treat it like the organ that it
is.
You don't really need to suffer because it does have a negative impact psychologically, confidence wise, and so on. So yeah, it's bigger than just the skin, I would say.
We obviously could stay going with this all day, like every single time you come in here, Jennifer Rock, because there's so much information. But what ingredients, I know you mentioned a couple there, but what ingredients should we be really looking at to maintain scalp health?
So there's a lot of brands now that are promoting themselves very much so as like skincare for the scalp. So trying to become a fae with those is definitely something I'd encourage. But when I look at the common theme of those, that newness, what are they bringing out? It's actually a lot of ingredients like thyme oil, rosemary, essentially oils and hydrating lipids to keep the moisture in. Or it's the other extreme where I suppose there's an element of that exfoliating treatment, anti-inflammatory piece there. So it's back to that. It's going to cross over. There's a lot of common ingredients that we'd use for the face that we would encourage for the body and for the scalp. But really the main ingredients to avoid, and I don't like saying this out loud because I don't want this to be my reality, but things like dry shampoo are brilliant in an instant, but not in an every single day, and I sit here with it in my hair right now. So I got to look in the mirror and address it myself. But being aware that I would say myself and a lot of my own clients and team would say we treat our hair as an accessory and we don't treat the scalp as the skin that it is. So trying to see if you're really leaning on ingredients that are causing the skin irritation or maybe just not questioning what you're putting on, it may be a time just to ask yourself. And if you're lucky enough that you're not suffering with, you know, pattern baldness or the eczema or the psoriasis or just itchy scalp in general, be aware that there'll be different hormonal parts of your life that it will become your reality. So there's no harm in being educated about it.
Yeah, and just knowing what you're looking out for. Also, like, I mean, dry shampoo, like you said, a band-aid. Like, you can't be relying on it every single week. And if you just think of the powder that's just being sprayed, obviously it's going to clog.
So if I said to you, right, okay, so Laura, just don't wash your face today, it's okay, we're just going to spray a little bit of talcum powder on, because that's often the main ingredient within it, you think I was absolutely bonkers. So again, look, my main ask for people is, without putting pressure on yourself, just think about the scalp as a continuation of your skin. Would you do this to your face and elsewhere? And more often than not, the answer is no. So it's an important conversation to just start thinking with yourself whilst you're making, because we're all buying shampoos and conditioners and typically masks anyway. So what can we do to make sure that they're the right ingredients inside to help?
and see a professional if all else fails.
Yes.
Jennifer Rock, as always, thank you so much for coming in with us. I enjoyed, cannot wait for next month to see what we're going to be talking about. That was Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skingredients and The Skin Nerd. And if you missed any of that scalp health chat or any of our chats that we've had with Jennifer, you can check them out in the podcast. They will be podcasted right after the show today, and we'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.